Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today we have a very special treat for myself, as well as all the listeners, is we have the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear German abstract artist and musician, Marlies Jermudas, and her husband, musician and software designer, Bastian Jermudas, and Marlies' lover, musician, writer, and web designer, Richard Rasa. And they're here to discuss with us sacred relationship. And, you know, this is one I really want to invite you to call in if you have questions about this, if you have something to share about this, because it's a very, very, very important thing and a high level of mastery that they have accomplished here. And welcome. Welcome, my darlings.
Thank you, Iris.
Hi, Iris. Hi.
Hi. You know, I've talked more to Marlies and Rasa, but I haven't talked to you as much, Bastian, and I want to, you know, really encourage you to speak up today. Who would like to talk about your relationship and how it came into being?
Yeah, okay. Maybe I start, Iris.
Okay, my darling.
Okay. So, sacred relationship. I think I really start with my husband, Bastian. When we met, we didn't know, of course, we have or will have a sacred relationship. It was our spirit, not sex attraction or anything. It was really the spirit who brought us together. And but still, he wasn't, really aware that it is a sacred relationship, but we could experience the sacred relationship. It started, you know, every day, every day. So 25 years ago, yesterday we had our 25th anniversary, what we call in Germany the silver wedding. And this is, you know, when we look back, when I look back, I think what an unbelievable blessing I had with my fourth husband. Bastian is my fourth husband. All the three other relationships didn't work out. But I'm really proud that I changed that, meaning I didn't stay in the first relationship but didn't work. Then the second was not working. And then I thought, hopefully the third. But that took only 10 years. And then I figured out, okay, that is really not what I want. I want really then a sacred relationship, a kind of communication, but really comes from the heart, not from the emotion or the mind, you know. And so then I met Bastian 25 years ago. That was in Berlin, in a friend's house, and we saw each other.
In a what house? I'm sorry?
In a friend's house in Berlin.
A what house?
A friend's house.
Oh, a friend's house. I thought you were saying a French house. I want to be sure we knew what this was. Okay,
house.
I'm sorry. Go
so,
on.
So I met Bastian, and we met there, and we were immediately in a spiritual kind of higher love, not the sexual attraction, that's for sure. We were sitting there for a half hour and looked in our eyes, just looking in our eyes, and felt this kind of deep, deep connection. And I mean, Bastian is actually 16 years younger than I am, and it was already a little funny, you know, for his mother, of course, his family. I was 42, he was 23, and I was married 3 times, divorced, had 2 children. And so that was altogether for friends and families, both sides, a little funny, and they all thought, oh my God, that can't go, okay, you know, that woman is so much older. But we didn't care, you know. We got even very shortly after that married and figured out in a short time that we are really on the same path, you know, meaning we both love art, we both love the same music, we both love the same philosophy, books, blah, blah, blah. We both like nature. We both love to be in silence and still with other people around. And we both really have the same spiritual connection to the I am, to really I am what we are. The whole creation is I am. You know, so we both have that deep connection. And Bastian is, compared to myself, a very calm, quiet person. He doesn't gossip. He doesn't say anything what he doesn't like or even doesn't listen to stuff but is gossip. So I'm a woman. I'm more emotional, you know. But so this kind of, you know, relationship, he's a quiet, deep, calm guy. I'm the outgoing, you know, kind of artist, don't care, you know, I do my thing. And we are both compassionate, very compassionate. We are both seeing what is going on in the world and want to help, and what we do with our love in action, actually. And, you know, so we have a wonderful, really a wonderful, unbelievable, deep relationship. And I think that growth, that type of relationship grows out of a very deep, what is it, trust. That's it. Trust. Because the most relationships that I can see, and my own before, you know, there never was really trust. I thought about I can trust the guy and blah, blah, blah. But when I really looked inside, I thought, my God, I don't like to talk about that, meaning there's already no trust, right? And mm-hmm. No trust, when we do that, we don't have any kind of really deeper connection or a relationship, because when there is no trust, then...
You mean, let me just define your... what you're calling trust. And because, you know, Marlise, I used to think that when I said something,
yeah,
that I saw a picture in my mind or had an experience of that, and that everyone was seeing that same picture and having that same experience that I was talking about. And I have learned more and more that that is not the case.
Right.
So I think you're defining trust as that you can absolutely be your whole being with that person.
Yes.
That you can,
yes,
you can and do say everything to them. They can and do say everything to you.
Yes.
There's nothing hidden.
Yeah.
There's
no judgment, nothing hidden. Because that is mostly, you know, in the relationship. One person say, the woman wants to open up. Women open up anyway faster than men. So the woman wants to open up. And then, okay, then she says to her husband or her lover, whatever, let's sit and talk. And then she feels, my God, there is really no talk. I'm really afraid to tell him what I think in my deepest heart. So when I'm afraid to tell my husband, lover, or a friend, I'm afraid to think, okay, maybe he doesn't love me anymore, or maybe he judges me, or maybe he doesn't understand me, that is already the wrong direction. You know?
Well, yeah, but it's also, for me, I adored my husband. I adored him. And I felt like I had to face in myself what it would be like for him to just say, I don't love you anymore. And to know that I would still, that it would be my highest good and his highest good if he did leave feeling that way. It would be trusting the universe to give me what was perfect for myself.
Wow.
And so, you know, I sort of used to test myself on that, and I found that if, like, for instance, somebody that was just learning to channel her guides called me up one night at 11 o'clock, and she told me that Gerald and me weren't twin flames, that we were obstructing each other, that I was obstructing his growth, and that it was wrong for me to remain with him, and I needed to leave immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cried all night. I cried all night, but what I came to was that I didn't ask God for anything for myself. I said, you need to be sure that he isn't, crushed by being left, and I want him to have his perfect mate right away. And I saw myself seeing them together and being happy for him and wanting him to have that. And I think that is a test of true love.
Yeah.
And I just want to be sure we're on the same page here.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I do want to define trust, so I want to hear how you're defining trust. Because a lot of people would say their definition of trust is the person is going to be with me forever and they will never want anybody else.
Wow.
And you did that.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with trust.
Really. Okay, good.
No, you trust the up. Let Bastian talk.
Yeah. I would say that trust is, you know, in a relationship, the trust is that everybody, every person for him or herself is connected to the highest truth of the whole being he or she is, and out of this relationship to one's own higher self comes honestness and truth on knowing that in a relationship those have these connection to one's own higher truth, and from that comes trust, so that I can always trust, knowing that whatever my wife is doing, it's the right thing for her to do. So I can let it go and let it happen. I know it's okay. And since I'm myself connected to my own truth, I'm not necessarily dependent on, she has to give me what I need also, because I get everything I need from out of my own being. And having this in my own being, the beauty is we're sharing this, the truth we can be, but we don't need it necessarily give it to each other. So everybody, every one of us is free in a way to do what, we have to do. And we can share the beauty of, the divine world and wherever we are.
So that means the trust really comes out of ourselves, and then we can share that with another person, So what Bastian means, the trust and the honesty and the truth is really in us. We come to our core, to our center, because the truth, honesty, that all comes from the heart. Attraction in sex to a person is a different thing than a really divine love, a sacred relationship. Because in time, at first it grows maybe between two or three people, and then it comes, then suddenly you think, my God, there is a whole world where I have really a divine or a sacred relationship to, like to Raza as well. My relationship with Raza, or our relationship, there is really, I was no difference in my feeling, my love to Radha or Bhaktiyan. You know, there is no difference. The only difference is really, and this is the kind of personality, you know. So, like I said, Bastian is, first of all, anyway, the same culture than I am, German. Radha is American. Then Bastian is a very calm, quiet guy. Radha is very outgoing like me more, you know. So they are already different. And, of course, I have with them both a different relationship. That is for sure, you know, in the interaction. You know, in the partner interaction. I act with Radha different. I don't mean now, the heart is always there. But I talk with him different. I act with him different, do different things. And I have that with Bastian too. And then in the end, we all come together, create our wonderful sacred music, you know, and be in love in ourselves and give that love really to our partners and to all the other people, the beings we meet, the deer, the animals, the whole creation really. You know, in the end, we always come to ourselves. Everything is in us. Everything is in our own brain, in our own heart. That is all connected. We are all connected to that divine, to that I am, consciously or unconsciously. Doesn't matter. We have all the potential to give love, to be love, to receive love. You know, so.
Now, Iris, I think to come back to the thought on trust, when I think of this, I really like what Bastian just said. I realized that what I love about Bastian and what I love about Marlies is that being that they are. And I think all three of us have a certain amount of security in ourselves that we trust ourselves.
And experience.
And, yeah, we have a fair amount of experience between the three of us and different kinds of experience. But I trust Bastian to be Bastian, and I trust Marlies to be Marlies, and I trust myself to be myself. And I don't feel like I will be disappointed by anything that happens. We all make mistakes in life, you know. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that I let Bastian be himself and I let Marlies be herself. And they grow because I give them that kind of trust. You know, it's like nurturing a plant. You know, you can't do much to a plant. You just have to give it its basic necessities, water, sunlight, maybe a little plant food sometimes. You know, but really you just have to love that beautiful creation. And then everything grows out of that. I think a lot of it is just that letting go. You know, not that I need Marlies or that I need Bastian. We all need companions. We all need a society that is compassionate and friendly and caring, but we mostly need to let those other members of the society really find themselves and be themselves.
Well, you know, in the Course in Miracles it says you are love and your only need is to extend it. And so I think you're really saying the same thing as Marlies, is that you didn't say this in exactly these words, but I think that we all think, correct me if I'm wrong, that this planet is a workshop in order to learn to truly love,
right.
and to give love. It's not to, you know, have the world pictures of a successful relationship or marriage or you know, if you're a monk or whatever it is, it's to learn to love as God loves, I think. Isn't that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe I misinterpreted it.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. You know, I think for us, you know, there's always conflict in relationships, you know, and I think that's what you're saying, that we're on the planet here in this three-dimensional world trying to work out the way we bump into each other. And sometimes we don't see everything so clearly, and so we really do, you know, rub each other's edges in a strange way. The three of us are so fortunate, a lot because of what Marley says. Our experiences have taught us so much, and we do come from different backgrounds in a way and have these different experiences, but we really listen to each other, and we really talk about what is going on. And if there's ever any conflict, we don't feel like the conflict is the problem. We feel like that we just need the time, the compassion, and those gentle words to try to figure out, well, what's going on? And it always gets resolved. You know, we don't feel like there's a pressure of that, you know, oh, we're worried that we're going to lose someone, you know, there's you know, there's none of that holding on, I think. It's really the key to the success that the three of us have being so close together is that we just let go. We let the other person be themselves. And, you know, you can express that in so many ways, but if you listen to our music, you see that we each have a different instrument, and those instruments sound very different from one another. And we each play what we feel we should be playing while we're listening to the other person. And that harmony comes so naturally out of that acceptance that we trust that the other person knows what they're doing, and we trust that we're going to like what we hear when they play, and we just sit down, we play. I mean, we don't even, you know, we do a kind of improvisation style. And so, you know, we plan out you know, melodies and harmony a little bit, and we know what scales we're playing. You know, we're musicians. We know the technique and the craft. And like in any relationship, you have to know, you know, how to help another person in all these different human ways. But really, in the end, you just let go, and you let that other person be themselves. And they play their instrument, whether it's a musical instrument or whether it's their voice or their mind or their heart or their body. You just let them play that. And then you play along with them. But you let them be themselves, and then everything works out. I mean, it sounds very simplistic in a way, but I think the highest truths really are that simple.
Well, see, I think that a lot of people have gone into a relationship with the agreement that you won't be yourself. You'll be my picture I have of you, and you will fit into this little box, and that's how I will know you love me.
Yeah, that unfortunately happens a lot.
And it does as well.
Well, I think that's why it's so important that you are doing what you are doing, because everyone that steps out of that whole belief system and gives absolute space. That comes from the ground of being that you could actually own a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that joke that where the wife, the ex-wife says, if he doesn't start paying his alimony, I'm going to repossess him.
Huh.
You know, there's a lot, have been a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, do you remember the O.J. Simpson trial? And I thought, if someone could murder their wife and lover that way, they would have to feel that they owned that person, and
uh-huh.
that person owed them being a certain way.
Right.
So it would have absolutely nothing to do with actual love.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. I mean, freedom, you know, when we know, when we believe in karma, even if we don't believe in karma, we need the freedom to grow, to explore. Yes, with a wonderful partner, that is even better, you know. But we need our freedom, so meaning, you know, when I can't do what my being requires, you know, what comes from my inside. You know, because maybe I have to do that, you know, to come a little further on my spiritual path. you know, so for another person, they think, my God, that woman is insane. Why she does that? But I need to do that to come to another stage of my own evolutionary being, you know. So I think the freedom is so important, and that is always a lot of young people here, young couples, they ask me here in Mount Shasta, you know, how do you do that? How is it possible? I can't even live with one man. How do you do that with two? And I say always, the first thing is having understanding and compassion, you know, and then giving freedom, and then the talking. The most important thing in a relationship is sitting together and talk about themselves, you know. And the most people, when you look around, they don't have time for that. If they would have time in the nighttime, they look TV and take something else in their mind, some dramas, but they are the whole time around it, surrounded by drama, their own drama, and because to go away from their own drama, they take another drama in their living room that comes from the TV or whatever. And so, like here with Father and Bastian, both men never ever had an argument. And that doesn't mean that they always both agree on everything, no. But they give themselves the freedom and say, okay, I really, it doesn't make sense to me. So when it makes sense to you, wonderful. You know,
well,
that is not coming not out of ignorance, but out of understanding and giving freedom to that person, you know. Like I said, in our relationship here, is the main thing is we talk about everything. That comes out of trust already. And then we give them the freedom, and both men, that they respect each other as a man, and not think men have that usually. They are jealous in another way than women. You know, women are more envy. Men are in a way jealous. Ah, yeah, that guy has a big penis, meaning a big brain, or he has a nice car, and he gets all the women and all that dumb stuff, you know. So,
well, you know, the question I want to ask Bastian is, how did you first take the news that Marlise wanted? How did you, what was your first reaction to that? What did you need to go through yourself to give that kind of space?
I mean, it was a specific situation too, you know, because he just came, he just left America and came to, he just left Germany and came to America. So for me it was like, okay, I just lost my security, my home, came to a new country and had to deal kind of, I don't know exactly what was going on, but it brought, to say this, it was kind of maybe in the beginning kind of painful, but it brought me to myself, I have to say, because I learned to let go on, I don't know, I can, yeah, kind of, it brought me to myself, to not depend on Marlise or on the relationship, you know, but, you know, in my situation that I, you know, got really connected to my true self through that, you know. Because that that's in a way where I'll end it. And
well, you know what I think is the measure of a divine relationship is what do you create together of beauty and love and joy and the fullness of your own self-expression is like, does everyone in this relationship become more of themselves? And in that relationship that we were talking about where the person draws a picture and says, this is what I love, you will be this, and you will not step outside of this box, then what happens there is both people are less and less of themselves in order to maintain the relationship until their divine self has to separate them. It's like, you go in this corner, you go in this corner, because you guys aren't flourishing together. That's been sort of my experience of people separating.
I very fast could see that this is like to let her go through her own karma, and actually that through the relationship she started with Raza, that nothing was lost in our relationship. Actually, it added something, because it added kind of freedom and overcoming of jealousy and ego. And now, actually, it then started really floating. And you know, it was like there was a freedom, let it go. There was a freedom to know she can go, you know, whatever she thinks her karma brings her, and same true for me too. So I don't know, it worked out very, very good, you know. I mean, it just brought me to a lot of growth.
I hear you.
You know,
I don't think a lot of people could do it.
Mm-hmm.
What the three of you have done.
Mm-hmm.
Iris, when I think of what Bastian's saying, I realized that when I first met Molly, this was 1970, and I was 18 years old, and Marlies was married to her third husband, Joachim. And I was friends with Joachim also, and I realized I had a really special connection to Marlies, and she realized she had that connection to me, and we became very close friends. And I think there was maybe a moment or two when we, you know, a little flirted with the idea there could be something more. You know, I tell you, Joachim was maybe 8 inches taller than me, a lot heavier, a lot bigger, and a big German guy, and actually had, you know, some pretty strong experiences in World War II that impressed me. And so I immediately, you know, had this feeling like, okay, I'm friends with Marlies in this very special way, but there cannot be any attachment. And it wasn't that I was afraid. I mean, I was a little afraid at moments, I think, that, to be honest. But really, I felt such a good feeling from both of them. And I realized that, you know, this is a good friend that I'm getting here. And I have to let her be who she is. And I think that when this second part of our relationship started, when Bastian and Marlies came to America, I had a similar kind of feeling. You know, I realized that there was something else growing between us, but I saw that Marlies was really in love with Bastian. And I didn't, you know, it wasn't that I thought I was taking something away. I just felt like I was enjoying being with my old friend and finding a new friend in Bastian. And that, you know, it was really a matter of not really trying to possess anyone. You know, we weren't really trying to hold on to any idea of a relationship. And in the beginning, and even more later on, when we were working out the dynamics of, you know, who is where, when, and who lives where, and, you know, how much time do we all spend with each other, that came so effortlessly because we really had no desire to possess another person. You know, I apologize if I always go back to the art, because it's such a great example. I see a that way. You know, I encourage all of your listeners to go to Marlies' gallery website, starseedgallery.net, and look at any one of her paintings. And they're all so free. There's so much freedom in there. And I've always loved her artwork. And the idea of me telling Marlies while she's painting, wait, stop, you know, add some more purple there, you know, change that to violet, you know, that would be absurd. You know, I could never think to do that because I love to watch her paint. I love to see what comes out. I love to look at the paintings afterwards. And I think, you know, the same example happens in our relationship. You know, if she wants to do something, then I just like to sit back and watch her do it and enjoy that process, enjoy whatever comes out of that. And I think if everyone had that feeling about their partner, you know, to find out what it is that really makes them themselves and allows them to grow, then you really enjoy that being in that person. And if you find you don't enjoy that, what you see in that person when you let them be free, then maybe you shouldn't be in that relationship. You know, maybe you should let go of that relationship and let that person be with someone else or by themselves.
Mm-hmm. And the 16 years where we are together now, you know, and being really together, I'm in deep, deep gratitude and appreciation to both Bastian and Radha, you know, first of all, that they can keep up with me, whatever that means, and that they really honor and appreciate my Shakti. And I appreciate really their Shakti, you know, because both men have a lot of Shakti to give to, you know, to the world, you know, very female, and still their male energy, you know, and I really appreciate both. Not more Bastian or not more Radha. Yeah, I know Radha nearly 40 years and Bastian 25 years, 26 actually. But there is no, you know, of course, to the German culture where we both, Bastian and I, come from, we talk German at home, always. And so there's already another kind of emotional connection, right? And with Radha, it's all, I mean, really, I'm really thankful to Radha. He helped us, especially me, but through that, Bastian as well, to be in America, to stay here, you know, to just to stay in America. Because in the first year or two, we were a little bit overwhelmed, you know, with the whole culture, you know. I thought always, okay, when we go to America, that is Western, you know, it's Western culture, so it's not a big deal. It's like being in England, in Europe. But no, it is a complex, really diverse, complex culture here. And Radha did a lot to help us, you know, to go come deeper in the culture and see the diversity more and see, that is that and that is that. But that is not the main thing. The main thing why I'm thankful and grateful to both men here is really because who they are and what they are. And both with their loving, unconditional support and love, you know, what they give me. And through that, actually, to other women and to the whole world. You know, if they're not only to me, that would be ridiculous. So this kind of consciousness, divine consciousness, that makes our relationship sacred. Is that right what I said? I mean, you know, that is my experience with both men. And, they are both now here. Radha is for 5 years here. Bastian comes every second week from the Bay Area up here. And to tell you the truth, I'm 67. Bastian is 50. Radha is 57. So me with 67 and being a great grandmother, I think I deserve my freedom, meaning I love to be alone in the house after they leave. But on the other hand, I'm really happy when they come. So that is both, you know, awfully nice, that loving energy, you know, from both. And then when they leave, I think, oh, that was very nice. And, you know, and then we meet again, again and again. No, so, you know, I said something, but when he drives home on Sunday night, you know, he said something, ah, I know, you are happy, you are soon, you will be by yourself, you know, that kind of thing. But that is loving, understanding, giving freedom, you know, that is the thing. No. So, yeah, I'm really thankful. You know, to myself as well, that I had the courage, the love, the sharing energy to be with both men. Yeah.
Well, excuse me. I have to get some water. It seems to me that the ingredients or what make this relationship sacred is, first of all, that you've all given yourselves first and foremost and completely to your relationship as number one with God I Am in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then asked that I Am Presence in you to make your relationships what are truly the divine blueprint, not the world's picture.
Mm-hmm.
And to truly love, to truly become a Sun Presence of love.
Yeah, right.
And to tell the truth and to really share yourselves and to be all of yourself out of being in the relationship.
Right. It comes, it comes anyway out of us. Bastian can't make me spiritual, loving, compassionate. We have to do that. But when we find a partner, it doesn't matter who it is, a man, a woman, or whatsoever, you know, where we get that, where we can share that same expression of love, of divinity, of connection to the all, to the I Am, this is a high blessing, I think, you know, between partners, you know, but we have to do it all by ourselves. You know, we can get a little help, right, from our friends or what, but to do it, that's up to us. We can be ignorant and think, oh yeah, that will come all, or we can give a little effort in and think, okay, it's like going to the three-dimensional school here to learn that and that, so we go kind of going in a spiritual school, if there is a school or not, it's anyway in us, you know. And so to learn, you know, the way how the universe works, how we are in this huge picture of creation where no end and no beginning is, you know. So this is something when we can grasp that, you know, that kind of oneness, you know. I think that is the highest, when we experience the one in all, you know, the emptiness as everything, you know. So, yeah, that is so the basic for that experience that we can experience, the three of us, is there. Because of freedom, of compassion, of giving, of sharing, of trust, all that wonderful...
Well, I think it's, you know, as well as creating beauty and expanding, you're expanding the possibilities in the universe. You're expanding the love in the universe. And you're doing that by the way you interact and the way you serve and empower and love one another, all three of you.
Uh-huh.
And you also are doing that by the way you combine your gifts. Your gifts are so beautifully meshing. Like you were talking about the compassion and loving nature. And share a little bit about what has happened with the deer in the yard and how people can experience
that. Yesterday we had here a wonderful little ceremony for our anniversary, and Sharon was here as a minister and Peter Mountchester as a minister. So they had a wonderful, they did a wonderful ceremony with some wonderful friends. And then suddenly that deer, Nellie was around. So she was at the whole ceremony standing behind me and Bastian in the woods, you know, where we had our ceremony here, and was listening. So she feels this divine energy, this divine sacred relationship, you know. And really, it is especially the deer who are really sometimes hated from people because they eat everything and go in the yards and blah, blah, blah. But that is their nature. That is their thing, what they do in our whole world. So, but they feel this, what we give them, this connection, you know, what we have to them. And Eva and Rosie, they are now pregnant, you know, so we are expecting nearly every day now, every hour, really, the new babies. And so they know that, you know, they come here. And the babies, they are always born around here, the property, you know. It's just they trust us, you know. Why?
Oh, they come up and let you give them deer massage.
Right.
And, you know, until recently, I mean, there are other people that are doing things that magnificent with animals, as you and Rosa and Bastian are doing with the deer, but I used to think only St. Francis could have the birds come up and land on him.
Yeah,
you know?
But listen, we have by now thousands of St. Francis. That is a kind of, that is your consciousness. It's like the consciousness of Jesus, you know, the consciousness of Mother Mary. That is all. So St. Francis is a divine consciousness by now, you know, and he has all that connection to the animal kingdom, you know. So by now we have a lot of St. Francis around the whole world who have suddenly compassion to animals, not only to their pets, but to the outside world.
Yes.
Animals who are a huge part of our creation here on that planet.
It's very important, and it's very important for me as a mother. My agreement with animals is I will not hurt your babies and you will not hurt mine.
Right.
And that includes the cows.
Yeah, right. Well,
and,
yeah.
And doing everything that I can see to do to prevent suffering. Like I got vegan cat food for my cats and they love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sharon Callahan, that you were mentioning, says that when we stop killing animals,
yeah,
there'll be no more war.
Right. I think that is it, you know. Not only stopping killing people, but on animals, you know. We have a rich, really a rich country, especially here, you know, to kill animals for food. In a way, it sounds barbaric. You know what I mean? When it's like, 500 years ago or 300 years ago when we didn't have anything to eat really, or longer ago when we had to kill animals to survive. But now to kill the animals, that seems really barbaric to me.
It's also how we kill the animals.
Yeah, that is another.
You know, I've mentioned this before to you, Iris, that we have, because people, you know, have found out about our relationship with wild deer, we get a lot of emails from people. And a lot of times hunters write, and they want to say, you know, we really respect how you love the deer, and they're a little apologetic that they go hunting. But I really feel a lot of compassion for them in the sense that they go out and, you know, like Native Americans before them on this continent, they have an understanding with the animal, and they kill one animal, and then they eat that animal with their family. entirely different from that. And we create these concentration camps for cows and pigs and chickens, and it's just mind-bending, I think, that the consciousness of eating in that way, and the way we treat these beings as if they're just on an assembly line, and they are really just on an assembly line, and they're all creatures with their own consciousness. And if you eat another consciousness, you somehow become or share with that consciousness. And when you treat these beings, you know, so horribly, and then you eat them, you're eating that horrible treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And
energetically.
Yeah, energetically, you know, and
The suffering.
Yeah, the suffering of the animals is intense.
Yeah.
I mean, these hunters, they go out and, you know, they could shoot an animal, but that animal doesn't, up until that moment, they're not experiencing this day after day of fear and confinement and torture from the, from the physical discomfort and knowing, that what their fate is on some level or another, because, they hear the cries of all the other animals about, as they die. With that picture in your mind, it's hard to, to go to a fast food restaurant or any restaurant that, that just buys into that whole process and think, okay, well, I'm going to support that. I think, at one point, we're going to raise our consciousness to a degree where it's very difficult to eat anything without understanding where it comes from and what effect it has on the planet and on us eventually, but as we eat it. And how we consume that. This is true with so many other things that we do. We're so divorced from an understanding of where that food comes from.
Yeah, well, it's from being removed and made comfortable, and everything comes in a package, and you don't have to look. And
right. There'd
be a lot more vegetarians if people had to do it themselves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I knew of a story about a man who was a butcher, and the last thing, every time he cut a pig's throat, it would look into his eyes.
Oh.
The last thing. And he, after a few days, he quit that job and never touched meat again.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so I think it takes an awakening. It takes of coming out of that numbing sense of being to actually be awake to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important for now. We're almost out of time, so I want each of you to tell all of your websites how people can appreciate all that you're giving to the world and sharing it. And also, I want you to give Peter Mount Shasta's website, because you've participated in that, the three of you, right?
Yeah, that's true. All three of us have.
Mm-hmm.
Peter has Peter has a wonderful website. I designed the website, so I'm bragging a little bit. But on that website, when you get there, the first thing you hear is Marley singing a composition that she made with Bastian that's just called I Am. And it's this wonderful soft melody that plays in the background as you first go to the website. And Peter, when we first got together to talk about his website, he described a visual experience, a vision that he had of the I Am presence with the radiating colors of the rainbow coming out of it. And we worked together for a while, and I created a video. You can see that when you go to his website, just click on the first picture you see there in the middle of the page. And it goes to this animation that I created, and in the background is a composition that Bastian created that is based on the earth tone, the actual tone computed by the musicologist Hans Cousteau, who figured out the tone of the revolution of the earth around the sun, and transposed that into an audible frequency. So, there's really a lot of wonderful elements on that website. You're right, we all came together. But for our website, website, you can go first to starseedgallery.net. That's all one word, Starseed Gallery. You can listen to our music at starseedmusic.net. And if you want to go to my website, it's pelorian.com, P-E-L-O-R-I-A-N.com. And just to give you a clue of my sense of humor, Pelorian is a botanical term that means an abnormal regularity of structure in a structure that is normally irregular.
That's wonderful. And so...
and also, Iris, let me just give you Peter's website. You can go to ascendedadventures.com.
Ascendedadventures.com. And what about Bastion?
Bastion is represented on all of our websites, one way or the other, you know, Starseed Music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I love you all. I thank you for all you are giving. Oh, and I wanted to mention Marlise's new book that's coming out. What is the name of it?
My book, From Now to Now. And I had to change, just shortly, I had to change one chapter completely because I went through a transformation in the last 2 months. And so the book will be the one of the chapters I have to write completely different.
Okay. Well, we are looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to having you, all of you, on again. And I give so much thanks for the way you gave yourselves today to all of us. And I thank everyone for listening and say to you, God bless you and may all your dreams come true. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you. That all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Ah, men, ah, women, ah, children, and yeehaw!